Lexico Fun Professional Podcast Hour. We are recording, I don't know, GarageBand style here. We're real rough. Like, my Mac's in the repair shop, so I'm on an iPad and my phone right now. So, with us tonight is Alan. Alan, how are you doing?
I'm here.
Good. Good. And how are? Do you have the heat wave out there?
Yes. Yes, it is inescapable and horrible.
How bad is it?
It was like 100 degrees.
Holy fuck.
Sunday, and that was uncomfortable. My mom actually had flown out from Connecticut, and we basically had to just like crumple up our plan of stuff to do outside because I didn't want to kill her.
I mean, that's a good thing, is not killing your mom. Definitely.
Yeah, usually you want to keep her alive.
That's usually right on the top of the list. Also joining us is Alex. Alex, how are you doing?
I am camping in the New Jersey Pine Barrens.
You're camping through this?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Wow.
It's 4th of July week. I do this every year, so.
Keeping, I mean, cool. I guess you can't stop now, right?
Well, yeah, and the worst thing is my buddy's camper, the air conditioning was broken until just a few hours ago. A cat decided to climb into the air conditioner, lay her birth her babies, and then abandon them.
Wow, that's a story right there.
Yeah, fortunately, one of them survived and was picked up by the animal control. The other didn't, though. But
Did you see the Twitter story of the dude who found a cat and her litter behind his bed, and he basically adopted them? It was like a giant Twitter story over like 2 months. Anyway, sorry. We're short on time. I'll show it to you later. Also joining us is Sean. Sean, how are you doing?
What up?
Sean Flattery, not Huckle. Just want to be very clear on that one.
It's everybody. It's Flaherty, but I don't care.
Flaherty. I'm sorry. I can't pronounce words. You should know this.
No, everybody's using my last name. Trust me.
Yeah. So, Sean, how are you doing? How's the Columbus area?
It's hot. It was, Alan, you were talking about Sunday being like 100 degrees. I got invited to go down to Cincinnati on Sunday to hang out with Chad Miller and his friends. Chad runs the Ohio Valley Coasters YouTube page and just got back from Europe, and we wanted to talk the trip. But what ended up being a talk ended up being a 7.5 mile walk. And nearly 100 degree temperatures and out down through Cincinnati, and a 350 stair climb that was not expected. So,
yeah, well, those young kids, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was heavy, and I mean, it was a lot of fun though.
Yeah, good. So, Alan, what's on? Do you have an agenda for this?
Basically, so we can do the quick news, which is basically that there's a new ride that opened in Orlando. And really not much else. I mean, it feels like forever since we've done one of these. So I'm not really sure what other news we could do this topical, but that's basically the news that everybody is talking about, is the fact that there's a new ride in Orlando that opened.
Yeah, so I mean, we had, they announced the nighttime show at Islands Adventure at Universal Studios Florida. So that's announced and may test tonight.
Ooh.
Not sure. So there's that. They opened Toy Story Land at Disney. They've started construction on the Jurassic Park coaster for 2020, which is really big.
Oh, nice.
And they started installing the Tri-Beam track on the Harry Potter coaster segments. And it's starting to look a little bit like Maverick, which makes me happy.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of scrolling through the list. We have the coaster coming to Knoebels that they keep teasing. That seems pretty awesome. We have a little bit about Busch Gardens Williamsburg, how they may be getting that Star Flyer next year, Alan.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, Knoebels or Kennywood?
What do you mean Kennywood?
Kennywood.
I was going to say, wait, what?
Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
I was like, wait,
we're excited. No, now we're going back down.
Yeah, sorry, Kennywood. My bad. I'm just going through Screamscape right now, trying to scroll through the list. So we also have the teaser artwork at Carowinds for their next year coaster, which is tying into like a Cedar Point lore that they're building now, like the coaster cinematic universe or something of Cedar Fair attractions.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how exactly it works that a Mac launch coaster needs wood from the haunted woods of King's Island, but you know what? We're just going to roll.
Did you see the tagline for them was like, we have a means of vengeance or something like that is the tagline. Yeah, yeah. So like they're tying everything in. It's kind of ridiculous.
I know
they're
someone
just,
that
they're just trolling.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I know someone that got to see the track up close and personal a couple weeks ago for that Carowinds. So
how's it looking? Good?
Good. I mean, they saw it in Germany, so it's still over there.
Okay. Yeah. World of Color crashed. I think we may have talked that last time.
Yeah.
It's still dead, right?
Yeah, it's still dead till the end of the year.
Oh, Pixar Pier opened.
And no one, yeah. Well, I mean, and then like a dozen people paid $300 to go see it. So, hey, you know. If you have the money, good for you, I guess.
They got good fried chicken. It's great. Good for them.
Yeah, exactly. They got some drumsticks.
Not like there's another park in the same area that has fried chicken or anything like that, but, you know.
Yeah.
Very.
Trying to see what else. There's... Sounds like... I'm sorry. And then there's just a bunch of Halloween Horror Nights news for crying out loud, which is... crazy because they're actually releasing information now because last year for Halloween Horror Nights they really bungled the marketing and PR campaign to the point where they announced like four houses randomly on USA Today a week before opening. Like it was real bad, so now they've been doling out little things like every 2 weeks, including this past week they've actually had these postcards they posted on Twitter of a backstory of an original house. So that's super cool. But anyways, they have a Trick or Treat house coming, the movie. They have scare zones they've announced, including scare zones for Killer Clowns from Outer Space and Revenge of Chucky. And I know for a fact that Killer Clowns from Outer Space has been I'm trying to figure out the proper words for this. It's been a must have for a long time and they finally got it. So they're happy about that. But yeah, that's kind of the Halloween Horror Nights news really. Yeah, kind of it.
Yeah, I think the big thing right now is with Toy Story Land opening up in Orlando. You know, it's kind of amusing to see that people had waited like 6-7 hours.
Well, that's what they quoted for it, but I know someone who got in the line for 2.5 hours and they waited 30 minutes. So, I mean, it just sounds like Ox is either trying to scare people away or they just can't gauge the line lengths yet. So, I wouldn't put too much into that quite yet.
I just can't get over, like, a launched Wacky Worm getting that kind of...
Well, it is Disney fans that are hyping it up too, so.
This is true. This is very, very true.
Reportedly, there was a Disney podcast that basically, that said that, well, it's not on the level of Pandora, it's basically Pandora. Which is just like, if everything's great, then what's the point of reviewing it? Like, everything's not great then. You know, it's like the Incredibles quote, you know? It's like, not everything can be the best in the world. You know, it can just be a nice kid's land. It doesn't have to have a red carpet gala event with, you know, themed drinks and people dressing up, you know. But, you know, if you want to do it, go for it.
I think it's fine. I mean, it's just, I wish there had been more. That's all.
It needed another flat ride. And then
I would have loved a dark ride with animatronics. That would have been amazing on the Toy Story universe. Oh, yeah.
Well, they already have Toy Story Midway Mania there.
Yeah, but a dark ride, not an interactive game. I mean,
are you saying that the moving Nintendo Wii?
I mean, they did pretty much port that to consoles.
Yeah. You really did. It was kind of sad.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really want to bag on. I guess my attitude is like it exists in. You know, think of, like, how it'll be received in 5 or 10 years. People just be like, yeah, it's there, you know?
Well, I mean, that's going to be what it's next year. I mean, the whole idea, I like the idea of it is that this is the ancillary for Star Wars. Like, it's just, you know, everyone's in Star Wars land, but if you have kids or you need to escape for a little bit, you just head over to this small little land. You know, it can just be what it is. And they're opening 3 rides next year at Hollywood Studios, including Star Wars land. So, I mean, it is what it is. It's fine. It's fine.
It's way better than the West Coast thing.
Yeah, which is basically nothing. Like, they didn't really get anything except, like, a couple, like, a new churros cart in reality.
It's worse in my opinion, but, you know.
Okay, that's our Orlando talk.
Are you down there now, Joe?
No, I'm in Pittsburgh now.
Oh, you're in Pittsburgh. Okay.
Gotcha. I moved.
Yeah, I heard you moved.
Yeah. Yeah, I moved, so if you need to come to Kennywood.
Oh, there you go. Well, that, for next year, for sure.
Exactly. Then the year after, I'm going to move to another place, and then where I'm going to go, they're just going to build the craziest coaster there. That's my plan. It's just every year I'm going to move somewhere new, and they're just going to build the craziest coaster there.
So you'll be going that's to my Pigeon game Forge plan. After that, I guess. No.
Spoilers. Spoilers, folks. Spoilers.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. That's still just the kiddie. We'll talk later. Anyways.
Yeah.
Alan, what's up next?
Basically, trip reports. We can go, like, in terms of who's been most recent, which I guess would be Alex yesterday in Ocean City.
Oh, yeah. Wait, how do you know? Oh, yeah, I told you about that. I was like, I didn't tweet at all. but, yeah, yesterday did credit runs for the girlfriend, but I rode Gale Force again. With the new track that's manufactured by Inner Mountain Lift instead of some company in Italy. It's smoother. Transitions are better, and I didn't really hate it last year with the old track, but, you know, I'm glad the park was like, yeah, this is not what you promised us. Give us what, you know, you told you would give us, and, you know, I think the main problem they had was just alignment of all the stators and all that stuff, and having to recheck it constantly after so many launches to make sure the alignment was correct so things wouldn't hit.
Wow, which that's bad.
Yeah, and that was the second time around too, because the first time it was totally messed up to the point where pieces of track have been replaced twice at this point. Oh, so, geez. Yeah.
Oh boy.
It sucks because it's $10 or it's 14 tickets, which could be like $10 or so. And I would love to be able to ride it over and over again, but it is kind of prohibitively expensive too. Oh, yeah.
I want to butt in real quick.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, are you done with Gale Force?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. So I just been checking some stuff up. Turns out Kennywood has unveiled their full. You know the scratch ticket they have?
They've did the whole thing?
Yeah, they did the whole thing.
And they're announcing it tomorrow.
Wow.
I just saw this. So the numbers are, I'm going to be reading it top left to bottom right. So, okay. You know, so 220, 24, 50, 9, 197, 120, 3, 75. And this is the number that's going to be real interesting. For a lot of people, 4,000.
That's got to be length.
Yeah.
That's the length. I think this is going to be a long ride, 4,000 feet.
I see 220 for drop, 197 for the whatever the top hill is.
Mm-hmm.
The 24 obviously is almost certainly the number possible.
Well, here's my question, Alan. Is the 197 top height and then 220 the first drop? Because it is Kennywood.
Yeah, they're going ravine. But then the 9, the 3, the 75, you know, the 50, 75, I assume, is miles per hour.
Mm-hmm. Right. 3 could be inversions.
I
was going to say 9 could be the actual overall elements.
Yeah, I think 24 is the.
Or maybe 3, maybe like
train.
Or 3 launches and 9 inversions. That would be crazy, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
That's almost asking for too much.
Yeah.
The 120, I assume, is the number of seconds, like 120 seconds.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
I mean, that's fine. And then 24 guests per train.
Yeah.
What I guess we're getting this tomorrow. Which is nuts.
What about
I wasn't expecting that. I thought that was going to be like in August or something.
I have a very odd question. Why would a park announce on 4th of July? Because there's not going to be a lot of people around.
That's a good question.
They usually avoid holidays when they announce stuff.
My best guess is they're inept.
Or it has something to do with the 4th of July and fireworks.
There you go.
Maybe, yeah.
Oh.
I am currently going around Twitter, seeing what Kenny was saying.
Yeah, I think everybody. Well, does everybody know it's a launch coaster? I mean, that's the general consensus, and mongering. All points in that direction.
I mean, it's either launched or vertical lift.
Yeah, I mean,
because it's just space, really, right?
Yeah, I have heard launch and I heard air launch, which automatically tells you who's making it.
Yeah. And, I mean, Gale Force is amazing. So, like, yeah, I'd love to see that. All that stuff in China looks amazing that SNS has done.
Yeah, all those Happy Valley coasters.
Yeah.
Yeah, so officially Kennywood has tweeted out the last remaining numbers, and they say, we can't wait any longer. This is our main event of the evening, introducing the ninth and final clue for Project 412. What comes next? Find out tomorrow morning. It's an Independence Day surprise. So there you go.
It's really weird because the last coaster they put in was a launched coaster.
Yeah.
You know, and that was new for that market, apparently, but it's not currently running right now. But.
I mean, neither's Volcano, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Has anyone heard anything about Volcano recently?
I was at the park a couple weeks ago, and I was told from an employee who's an enthusiast that they were just waiting for parts, just in a similar fashion that Knott's was waiting for parts for Accelerator.
Yeah, sounds about right.
I am hoping that's the case, what I heard.
I mean, I know that Kings Dominion's gone through that before, where they've just waited for parts because that thing destroys components like crazy, so. Anyways, also another interesting number, Alan, for 120. Next year is the 120th anniversary of Kennywood.
Oh,
there you go.
Oh yeah, it is. Oh God, I remember when it was the 100th. Oh,
do you feel old now?
Oh man, that was like my first enthusiast event, the CoasterCon.
Yeah, I was going to say that was 20. That was 20 years ago.
Was that when they built that midway in the back?
No, it was after that. It was I think no, that was built different.
Like Sermonator, I think, was open. It was new that year, right?
Yeah.
No, Sermonator was 99.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Because that was the con that they rescheduled at the last second, wasn't it?
No,
that was Colorado.
Okay.
Kennywood, they had Kennywood Night a while on that con, and that was my second one I went to. So that was a lot of fun back then. I may have met you then, Alex, then.
Yeah, sure. I was really active on the RRC, so that was
the only place to go back then.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even know how I found it. It's the weirdest thing. Like, how did I even know about that, you know? It's like,
yeah.
It used to be, like, books. I remember, like, my dad had some book. It was, like, how to use the internet. It had, like, a listing of all the Usenet groups, and I remember, like, that's internet how I found out. RRC, and also there was like alt.barney.die. I remember that.
I might have just like, you know, like on AOL typed in roller coasters on the news group thing, and then like there it
AOL
is.
AOL keyword roller coasters.
Oh my god, the keywords.
I had to resort to Internet Cafe because I didn't even have internet. My first internet experience was actually web TV in my house.
Wow.
Oh man.
Oh my god.
There was like three of us on Rec Roller Coaster that had web TV. Jeff Johnson, Steven Don, and myself. And I was like, dude, the day that they updated with news groups, I'm like, I don't have to go to an internet cafe anymore, you know.
and now I'm sitting in the middle of the Pine Barrens on my cell phone doing a podcast.
Yeah, it's just so crazy how things are getting. And it's weird because I run into like younger enthusiasts at parks. And they're just like, man, you're like old, you're like OG enthusiast. Like,
God.
Like you were doing this, you know, you were participating when it was like just on the internet. And these are people that probably weren't even alive back then, to be honest, you know.
No, God, no.
They weren't.
So.
And like, you know what the thing is? Like, to you and I, Sean, like, and you're even older than I am.
I am.
It's just like, there's people that are way older than us. They were those are the OG enthusiasts.
Oh, yeah.
The Mike Saunders of the world type.
Yeah, dude. Matt Crowther and Lisa Scheinen and stuff like that. I remember when Lisa Scheinen, when I heard she had like 525 coasters, like I was just like, that's absurd. Like
now that seems like, okay, you're finally getting into it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, that's so cute.
You know what's amazing? Think about this. When I went to Cedar Point, the first time I went to Cedar Point in 98, they had 12 roller coasters. Now you think, oh, 12 coasters, that's a lot. But that's like, yeah, there like could be more. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, enough.
Anyways.
Enough of us talking about how old we are. let's just isolate it to Sean, because you did a big trip with Jeff.
Yeah, I did two, actually.
And who else was there?
It was just Jeff and I, but like I did two trips. I had a week off, did a trip with them, then went back to work for 2 weeks and then did another week with them.
So just give the quick rundown of what you guys hit up.
First week was left here out of Columbus. He flew in from LA. We did, you know, the thing at Indianapolis Zoo so he could get his credit combo. Did Silver Dollar City, did Dollywood, and then Kings Island on that trip. And then the one I did a couple weeks ago was Kentucky Kingdom, Beach Bend, Six Flags Over Georgia, Carowinds, Busch Gardens Europe, Dominion, Hershey, and then Cedar Point.
So any sort of takeaways, like any favorites from that trip?
Yeah. The new one at Silver Dollar City, Time Traveler, is a lot of fun to ride. It's not very intense per se for people like us, but it was so much fun. There was nobody at that park when I went there, so we rode it several times. But I leave it to Silver Dollar City to provide a family coaster that has a 90 degree drop, inversions, and spinning, but they pulled it off.
And launch,
two launches. And so that was a lot of fun. I did that trip right after I read Steel Vengeance for the first time. So like Outlaw Run seemed a lot tamer to me than it used to be.
In fairness, everything seems tamer after Steel Vengeance.
Yeah, it's completely, I don't want to say it's ruined like other coasters, but my running gag now is thanks Cedar Point, you know, whenever I ride something. But the second trip, Georgia Cyclone, Twisted Cyclone. It's a really solid ride. It was pretty much exactly what I thought it was going to be. Just a really nice kind of mid-sized RMC. First drop caught me off guard. The inversions are smooth. The infamous fourth drop moment of the original Cyclone still is there with a nice big airtime hill. They got some operational issues with the trains, at least when I was there. But really solid ride. A lot of fun. I only got to ride it twice, and I rode it in the back two times. Fury still is awesome at Carowinds. Dominion Twisted Timbers, that was a huge surprise because I purposely didn't listen to a lot of reviews of that ride or watch any video. So that thing is just full of surprises. There was nobody at that park when we were there too. And my first ride, we got stuck on the lift hill because they're having train issues as well. But it's
surprise.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's unreal.
It's a really good ride.
It is. I wasn't prepared for the little surprises like in its layout, and it just made me laugh every time I rode it.
I definitely like the airtime hills when they bank you during them. That's one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, like you're trying to be thrown out of the train. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really smooth and everything just works really well except the trains. So and then Hershey Park, I got Laugh Tracks and Coca Cruiser, the small one, which, you know, they're pretty clones, just in different settings. But I know I'm going to get some hate for this. I did not like Sky Rush at all. I mean,
well, why didn't you like Sky Rushers? I think is a better question.
Can you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's someone trying to call me. Sorry. Sky Rush. So I made a mistake of having my kind of vlogging camera in my pocket. Like I have these cargo shorts, so I had the in my pocket, mm-hmm. and I sat on the outside, the floorless seats of that ride, and the lift was unbelievable. I was laughing all the way up, and then as soon as we hit that first drop, I was in so much pain because of those restraints and the vibration that yeah. I honestly couldn't tell you what that layout does, and I have never wanted to get off a ride that quick in my life. Now, Jeff, he was sitting in the middle, and he said it was fine. He just wasn't really blown away by the ride, but you should have seen the bruise it left on my leg after one ride, so...
I believe it. Like, I know, Joe, you're not a fan.
I like Sky Rush. I hate the restraints. Like, I really like that ride. And that's the thing is, like, it's a great ride that is destroyed by the kind of restraints it has. And vehicles.
Yeah.
I found out how to ride it and not be in pain, but it's still, like, I hate having to do that. And the outside seat, like, I was at Hershey a few weeks ago, and I rode two times in the middle and one time on the wing, and I was glad that the girlfriend didn't mind riding on the wing because I was like, go ahead, take it, because the vibrations there are ridiculous. It hurt my neck for the rest of the night.
Yeah, I mean, we were only there for like a couple hours because we had the brilliant idea of going to do Hershey and Cedar Point the same day, which we did.
That's insane.
But it was like I had fallen victim to the outside wing when I rode X2 this year and got my ass kicked. I mean, I was in so much pain after my X2 ride that I said, well, I'm not going to sit on the outside. I don't know if I'm just getting too old or what, but then I saw how far those seats are from the track on Sky Rush, and I'm like, oh dude, I have to sit there for my first ride, and it was probably sitting there for my last ride as well. I don't know, but you know,
try the inside. I think you'd like it more.
I think I will too. It was just, we waited. Everything was a walk on in that park except that ride. And we waited, I don't know, we didn't wait long, maybe 25 minutes for it, but it was like, you know, I just wanted to get away from that ride after that ride. I mean, I had trouble like walking because of that ride. So, but I learned.
I think I'm the only big time Sky Rush fan. Like, in my circle, it's like me and Kyle Mackey are the two people that love Sky Rush. Like, and then anyone else is like, I'm not sure about this ride. Like, I'm just not sure.
It's good. It's just, it needs a different train and restraints.
Yeah, the restraints, like the lap bar is not good at all. And we kind of created this, like, this way that we were able to ride it defensively where we have to, like, grab on to the bar at, like, a low point. Like our arms are, I think they were like down at the bottom. Like, you know how it's kind of like a big U?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we kind of grab like at the sides, like below the waistline. And somehow Kyle and I had good rides as a result of that. But it could be like, it makes no sense at all. And I don't know why that would work or feel better. But we rode it a bunch and we loved it. And it's probably still like at the very top of my steel list. Which it seems like either it's at the very top of your steel list or you have like very conflicted feelings about Sky Rush. And I
agree with you, Alan, at all. That's how I ride it. And you put your hands like almost behind you practically. Like right at your sides. You don't hold on to like where they kind of want you to hold on, like right in front of you. Cause that like, it also like, cause it has wild whipping side to side motions that almost can hurt my back sometimes. It's just a wild ride. I don't know how it hasn't, like, seriously hurt somebody.
I can't believe no one's died on that ride. I absolutely cannot believe it.
But can I just talk about the water coaster really quickly?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Sorry. Sorry.
Yeah,
with breaking news.
I finally did the water park because, like, water coaster. And, like, yes, finally. And, yeah, it's good. It's got really good airtime. As good as Holiday World.
Oh, wow. See, I haven't done Holiday Worlds yet either.
but they're not, it's not as long, so it's definitely not as good because Hollyworld's got the length. So,
okay.
Yeah. And it's cool. It has the saucer turns, and it has two saucer turns right after each other, which is kind of cool. But, yeah, it's not as good as it's better than Volcano Bay's, but Volcano Bay's, just the setting of the volcano is awesome. But the airtime isn't there on Volcano Bay's water coaster. And then their mat racer is really cool. They have RFID wristbands that you can register your initials and then your email. And at the top of the tower, which is the longest mat racer, actually, you scan your RFID bracelet. And it records your time. It posts it to a leaderboard, like so you can see what ranking you came on to. They have the like the highest, the fastest times for the day, fastest times for the season, and they email you a picture of you racing and all your stats for that race. And that's all free.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that interaction, like, that is awesome. Like, yeah, that was really cool. I wasn't expecting that. And the water park's nice. It's, I mean, they got a bowl slide. They got a tornado. So, yeah. Nice. I was happy to finally be able to do that that water park. So, anyways.
Hey, cool. So, Sean, when you guys were out there, was that Jeff's first time to, like, Beach Bend or –
No. We've both been to all those parks. He hadn't been, you know, he was like me. He took like 10 years off from like really doing the hobby. And so it was a lot. He ended up getting like 42 credits or something on that trip. And he ended up, we had a lot of fun. Ironically, the thing, you know, he's a big Inman fan, and the thing that let him down the most was the Inman coasters. Like, he didn't care for I-305 at all. And
good man.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, for me, I just gray out half the ride. But, I mean, there's every time I've been to that park since that thing has opened, I've never waited for that ride. Like, nobody – I don't know if nobody rides it or, you know, they're just bored with it. But I know – I mean, it's too, I appreciate for what it does. But, like, Jeff was just, like, weird. And then the two rides that really impressed him the most were B&M rides, which was Goliath of Georgia and Fury. Like, he was really, really blown away with those. So
yeah, Goliath of Georgia, to me, is possibly one of the most underrated rides.
Oh, my gosh. It's the best B&M Hyper I've ridden by far.
It's stunningly good.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect words.
Yeah, I think the issue with Inman 305, Intimidator 305, is that it's in the back of the park in the middle of just randomly nowhere.
Yeah.
And it's just so intense that people are like, do you want to ride that? If I'm in the area, and you're never in the area. So you have to make sure you have to go there. So I think that's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, like every time I've ridden it, I've never seen the second hill. Like, my vision just goes away, okay? Jeff didn't gray out one bit in any of the rides we took on it. So
yeah, it's a mess. I'm not a huge fan of that ride, to say the least.
what was your breaking news, by the way?
The Kennywood.
Oh.
Number 4?
Yeah, they announced something else?
No, I'm sorry. I apologize. The breaking news that interrupted Alex's trip report.
It's just, we're just repeating it. It's like the bottom line on ESPN.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Did you hear about LeBron, by the way, everyone? Did you hear about LeBron? Yes.
Oh, geez.
What about Boogie? What about Boogie? He signed with the Lakers, too. Yeah, no. So Alex, I know, also is just a Darien Lake, which I'm actually going to this weekend. And I need to hear about Tantrum. If he's there.
Hey, hi, I'm there.
Hi.
Okay, yay.
So I ran in to try to get some tacos really quickly.
That may be a first for any trip report.
Actual tacos. That's not a euphemism for anything.
Yeah.
Do you want me to talk about the whole trip or just?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So, girlfriend and I took 2 days. Spent the first day pretty much driving to Waldemere. Stopped at Creek Peak. I didn't ride the coaster that day because I'd already ridden the Mallet coaster. Then we stopped at Holiday Park or Holiday Valley and rode that Alpine Coaster. It's a fun Alpine Coaster. It's really cool because it goes up right next to the ski slope. And then on the way down, it's all in the forest. And, like, it was hot that day. And just coasting down inside the forest, it felt like it was, like, a good 10 degrees less. So that was cool. Then went to Waldemere. The Ravine Flyer is running wonderfully, as usual. Such a good coaster. I mean, it's hard to tell, say, is that better than Phoenix? Or, I mean, some could say is. So
it's like the best ride for me. Like, you know, the other thing is Phoenix ends a lot hotter than Ravine Flyer 2 does.
You know what? Those last two homes were running really well today. Or today, last week. They're actually... Yeah. But they were usually, in my previous experience, it didn't give much airtime, but they're actually giving little pops, which is nice.
That is sweet.
It's running smooth. They keep up with track work. And I imagine it gets hammered every winter. So I imagine it's extensive. So...
Did you ride a Comet or anything else there, basically?
Yeah, we rode the Comet 3 times. It was fun. And did the Wacky Shack. Excellent dark ride. Alan probably tell you all the history of it, right?
My recollection is it and Pirate's Cove are both Tracy.
Yeah, the Pirate's Cove walkthrough, it's got some really cool stuff in it, too.
Yeah, I always enjoy a good ride on the Wacky Shack.
Yeah, yeah. Great log flume with two drops.
And coaster's decent. They have a decent arcade. It's a great park. They actually have a surprisingly good amount of food. Oh, and the best convoy ride.
Yeah, the most beautifully landscaped convoy ride, which you can lavish at as you take the sky ride right over it. I know.
Yeah. What about Darien?
Darien was like, we went in there with really low expectations because of the reports I had read about it in the past 2 weeks. And, you know, the deal of Six Flags, like, actually taking over had completed in mid-May. So they I believe they're now running it. And we first got there and we, like, they didn't know what to do with our season passes or what deal to give us. And thankfully I told the girlfriend before we even got to the window, you should pull up that email that Great Adventure sent us, just in case. But to our surprises, we were upgraded to a Darien Lake season pass for only $20.
What?
yeah, and they refunded our parking.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah. So that was like, already we were like, well, if anything, I mean, this day's got to go really bad already, like, because... Yeah, so we went to Tantrum first, the new Gershaler Eurofighter, right? It's not Infinity, that's the Eurofighter.
Yeah, no.
And I've ridden Iron. Yeah, but it's got the lap bars. It's got the lap bar only trains, and it's identical to Iron Shark at Galveston Historical Pier in Galveston, Texas. But without the ocean, like, right next to it, where you feel like if the coaster tipped over, you know, you'd be going for a swim. But yeah, it's a great ride. Great. It's short, but like, it's got some really powerful NGs, and they're like really, really sustained. Like the last element is the overbank into an inclined loop, and I felt pinned to my seat from the beginning of the overbank all the way out of the inclined loop. It felt like a good like 6 seconds that you're like with no overhead restraints. I was feel like I was having to hold myself up from like leaning forward. So. That was fun. I had to do all the credits because of the girlfriend. Did the Mind Eraser, it was okay. Did the Boomerang, it was freaking terrible. I don't know what's happened in the last 15 years since I last rode it, but it was rough.
I rode it a couple years ago and it was decent still, but that's
shit. I had a bad ride on it. And I usually don't have problems with anything aero because I don't have any side-to-side shuffling because my shoulders are so tall. So, but yeah, I was like... Nah. And Moto Coaster was good. I mean, and Predator, we had some good rides on. We had 2 rides, one in the front seat and one in the second to last seat. And it wasn't smooth, but I didn't come off of it in pain.
So, and the front seat had a surprising amount of airtime on the, as you were reaching the top of the hill, the rest of the train hadn't slowed down. So it was giving us really nice pops on a few of the hills, which I hadn't remembered at all. So that was nice. Only downside, we'll just start with the downside. Only downside, Superman was closed for the day, which, I mean, I'm okay with that. I can ride Six Flags Americas anytime. It's a lot closer. But, you know, the girlfriend didn't get to ride it. But for everything else I'm about to say, we were like, okay, we'll return to the park and probably sooner than we had planned on it because the operations were amazing. Like, everyone was hustling. I didn't see anyone dragging ass all day long. All the rides, which, I mean, I'd heard people saying rides were opening like 2 hours late and all that. And it was all everything opened promptly at 10:30. And everyone we were talking to, it was like good guest interactions. And then the most amazing thing of that park, let's be honest here, the moose on the loose.
Yes.
That moose on the loose. Yeah, we rode it three times. We weren't joking around. It's just such a cute ride. And Hershen, when they managed it, however managements ago it was, like two.
Yeah.
That park has been through so many managements and all that stuff. It's just and that park could have so much potential. I mean, especially with all the concerts, and I mean the market's not huge, but I feel like it could be much more than what it is. So, and with the campground and everything, but yeah, the parts that Hershen touched were the boardwalk section, the kiddie section, and that section where Moose on the Loose is, and you can tell that it has that Hershen touch with just the small details. And I really hope that like this Moose on the Loose doesn't turn into a bunny or something like that, because that would be the worst thing ever, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the loss of Moose on the Loose is something I can't even begin to comprehend or consider.
No, it's so cute. It tells you the name as you go around the first curve, and it tells you to say Moose on the Loose.
Yeah, Alex, I mean, you're starting to Cylon a little bit.
This means Cylon.
You kind of sound like you're trying. He's still like, yeah,
you become a robot in a sci-fi show in the 70s.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it's all right.
I haven't moved at all, so I would tell you.
It's the solar flares.
Am I better now?
Yeah.
Yeah, you sound better, much better now.
Okay.
Well,
anyways. Sort of. We had a good day at Darien Lake, and it surprised us, so that was good. Then we went to Seabreeze, and Seabreeze is a cute little park. I don't think I would have gone back if it wasn't for the girlfriend, but it's cute, and it's got the super unique bobsled, which is like the first coaster to be RMC'd.
Yeah.
Before RMC even – yeah. So, I mean, I think there were like – I think Mine Train predates it, doesn't it? Technically, there have been structures with wood structures and steel before, but it's like the first coaster I know of that was a wood coaster then turned into a steel coaster.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. And it's just a really nice park, and it feels like they've been, ever since my first visit 15 years ago, just adding landscape and nice touches to the park. And I finally did some attractions I'd never done there. Their log flume is super steep and gives you a pop of airtime that's quite frankly pretty freaky. So, yeah,
it was a nice. I like their flyers. I like the train at that park.
Yeah,
stuff at that place.
Yeah, they had put it in a nice themed ride. I think it was either last year or the year before. It's like one of those Moby Dicks, but it's themed to Time Machine, and it actually has like, instead of just being what a flat painted surface, it's actually got like three-dimensional theming. So the only thing I had to complain about was the crowd was a little rough, the Rochester crowd, but not really the fault of the park, really. So and then on the way home we stopped at Burger or Dairy Queen. I almost got run over, so that's fun.
There's cool story. A strong endorsement of Rochester.
Yeah.
You guys were talking about the Six Flags thing. I accidentally bought a Six Flags season pass at Georgia.
Yeah, I heard about that.
That happens. That tends to happen.
Well, you also bought that Elitch Garden season pass.
Yeah, but that was so. Yeah, because at first I was like, "Oh my god, I can use this as Six Flags parks." But then when it boiled down to it, if you bought a pass to Elitch's, you got like. They had some special deal with like a refill drink and a full meal. And then I asked the lady behind the counter, you know, well, how much is a real meal? It actually saved me money, even though I have no plans of going back to that park this year. But it was all like a wristband, you know, that they scan and all that stuff. But, you know, I'm kind of getting really back into this, but I didn't know I was going to have two season passes, you know, this year. Other than Cedar Fair. But the good thing is I'll be working at Texas in September, so maybe I'll go down there and hit the new stuff down there as well. So
yeah, the new spinning rides, has that one at Great Adventure opened yet?
Yeah, I rode it a few weeks ago. And it's a fun ride, but it's kind of slow, so it's not.
Yeah.
We're talking about Cyborg, which is the ABC Rides Turbulon.
Turbillion, whatever.
Turbillion? Right, right. And, I mean, it is so much fun to watch. Really fun to watch. Possibly more fun to watch than ride.
it's like a topple tower. Those things look awesome to watch, but when you get on one, they're kind of like, oh.
Yeah, that's what I heard about those things. I never got on one of those, but.
Like, the YouTube user Coaster Force has a reverse POV of his first ride on that new thing at Great Adventure. And the woman he's riding with is like freaking out, going, "Oh my god, this is going to be terrifying!" And then like the ride ends, and they're both like, "That's it. That's all it did." Like you can see that they're like disappointed in it.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the fact they're having lots of problems with it, like lots of problems. With
yeah,
it. Like hydraulic problems, motor problems, problems opening it from the get go. So I feel like maybe it was the hope was to run it faster, but it's just. It can't handle it.
Oh, so how very Tomb Raider the ride-esque.
So. Yeah, I mean, when I saw the ride, I was like, oh, that looks awesome, but man, it's going to have problems just because of the structure and all the forces being exerted on everything and the motors. And it's crazy. But, I mean, Texas has just started testing, and who knows when that one will open.
Yeah.
So.
That's too bad. You know what? I was really excited about those. I knew it was kind of like a suspect ride manufacturer to just be like, yeah, we're going to build a four-axis flat ride. But at least they tried it, I guess. I got to give them that.
They did. And then when Six Flags announced all their big investments that year and I saw those, I said, well, that looks like it could have a lot of problems. I mean, it's better than, you know, what Six Flags America got, I guess, which is like a waterfall in their lazy river or something. But like, you know, no, I'm telling, as a matter of fact, Skylar Hardy and I were talking the night that Six Flags announced their stuff, and I'm not on Twitter personally, but they linked a link to like a Twitter post for Six Flags America, like the people that follow them. And when they made their announcement, their quote was, "You're going to love this." And I'm like, I wonder if it actually sold season passes. You know what I mean? To that park.
I don't think so. I mean, I think they had legitimately did replace their old lazy river, but who cares?
You know, actually the worst was probably LaRonde.
What did they get?
LaRonde had three rides announced, yeah. And then they only built one of them.
Oh, Alan, you need to talk about your trip to LaRonde you bring it up.
Yeah, I'll do the quick LaRonde. So, you know, basically my wife was in Scandinavia, and I was stuck here. And so I determined that I was going to go do things instead of just sitting at home. And as a result, I was like, well, I need to get credits. And, you know, I looked at a few different things and ultimately I settled on the idea of driving 10 hours to Montreal in a weekend to go to LaRon and get credits. And I did that. I've been to LaRon twice before. Both times it was bad. Once I was there on Victoria Day, and it never opened because there was some rain in the area.
Oh, it was LaClosed.
It was LaClosed. And they, because they're unionized, everybody stayed in the park and kept running rides. But the park was closed.
That's fantastic.
So you could look inside and see people in the stations, and you could see trains cycling, but you couldn't go.
Oh, boy.
You could just look at it. Then I went back a few years later, and I didn't get there at opening. I didn't really have a set game plan. And I basically got run over by LaRon. And so I got like three of the coasters, and then I left after 5 hours because it was just miserable, and I wasn't going to wait an hour and a half for a boomerang. So this time I did everything that I could to give myself an advantage without buying a fast pass. I got there at opening. I went straight to the Wild Mouse, which generally only loads a car after the car that's been on the circuit gets back to the brakes.
Oh, boy.
And there's like three cars running. Because, of course, why would you need more than that if that's the way you're going to run the ride? And I was waiting for it for about 6 or 7 minutes. I noticed that there was a single rider line. And it was open, and there was nobody in it. So I tried it, and it worked. And I got on the next car. And it all went well from there, except for the time that a red-winged blackbird attacked me. In fact, I was just for as a side note, I was attacked the following weekend at Cedar Point as well.
What the hell, dude?
Yeah, they both went after my head. And I remember when it attacked me, it was in the parking lot for Breakers. It just like comes at me, and I just remember screaming, "Not again." And my wife and my mother-in-law were both there and just laughing at me the whole time. But as far as the stuff that's at LaRon, like LaRon is full of not really good stuff.
Yeah.
The wood coaster there, La Monstra, I only rode one side because I wasn't going to wait an hour for the other side. It's a big kind of a racing coaster.
Right.
Used to like 20 years ago, and it hasn't in a long time. It wasn't bad. Like I rode in the front seat after an hour wait, which was 8 cycles. And it has a short train from PTC because it's so heavy with like the wings on the side.
Oh, it got rid of the Morgans.
Yeah, they got rid of the Morgans. The Morgans are sitting in a pile in the helix on like the first drop helix kind of thing.
Oh, because I only rode it with the Morgans.
Yeah. It's got PTCs now, which are way heavier. They still don't really do anything. Though I guess when they timed it initially, it was running like 15 seconds faster than it used to.
Oh, wow.
But it's not designed to do much of anything. It's got all the stuff that does during the ride is just weird. Like,
yeah.
You're going through these helixes that are like 60 feet in the air, and they like are banked at a really high angle. And at the same time, you're going like 3 miles an hour.
Yep.
And just like, this doesn't seem like this was a good idea. Like nothing about this seems like it was good. But there was a lot of fresh track work on it. And even though it's kind of a dumb ride, like a really stupidly designed ride, it wasn't terrible. It's at least aesthetically interesting. Then there's the Dragon, which is an indoor family coaster from Intamin. Mm-hmm. That I thought had actually been moved there, but it's not. It's an original. It's not very good either, but it exists. And it does have dragon theming inside of this, like, castle-ish kind of building that they've got for it. It's like putting the most basic castle exterior you can on a shed. And that's Dragon. That's in the very back of the park, and it also has a huge lawn. As did a lot of things, ultimately. I didn't get to ride the Aero Junior Mine Train. I did ride the Super Menage, which is this Vekoma corkscrew. I needed that credit. It looks horrible, but it ran okay. Rode the Boomerang, which is called Boomerang because it's very inventive, and that was okay. The big surprises for me were Goliath. You know, it's a B&M. It's kind of sort of like a B&M Hyper because it's not quite 200 feet, but basically a hyper coaster, you know, in terms of what it does. and that was really good. I think it's an underrated ride. I really do. I think the layout, especially the return run, is so different than what B&M usually does, because there's a lot of like high angle drops, not in terms of like the angle of the drop, but like having turns and like almost lateral movement along with it, that I was really taken aback and surprised by it. I loved it. I thought it was great. And then there was Vampire, which everybody had been telling me was the best Batman clone. I wrote it years ago. I didn't recall anything about it. It definitely feels like it's the most forceful. I don't know if that's because it's newer.
It's got 7 rows on the trains.
Oh, on Goliath?
No, on the Batman.
Oh, okay.
It's instead of 8, it's got 7, and for some reason that makes a difference, I think.
Yeah, it feels like it hurts. It hurt my legs.
Yeah. Yep.
All the positive G-force that it puts on you. I mean, there's a ton. There's a ton on that ride.
Yeah.
It's fast. It's probably, honestly, and maybe it's because I'm older now, but it felt like it was more intense than even like Nemesis was.
I buy that.
I know it's just a Batman, but it's a really good Batman. And I wrote it like in midday, like at 2:30 in the afternoon with no wait. Like I could have just gone and ridden it like 20 times if I wanted to.
Wow.
That and Goliath were both being run competently. Like, two trains were on and they were actually like moving. Food in the park's not bad. The monorail is rusty. It looks terrible, but it's fun. And there's a bunch of flat rides and they all had huge weights. It's still like, it's like objectively, it's not a good park, but it's interesting. That's all I can say about it. It's interesting. Like, it's one of those things where I feel like everybody should be forced to experience La Ronde at least. Just to know, like, it's a former expo, like a world expo, like a world's fair with all these big coasters. And it's also like a dump. And it also has some good stuff. it's like going to, it'd be like if Six Flags bought Epcot after Epcot had been abandoned for 25 years and then did nothing to fix the infrastructure of the park. That is La Ronde, like to a T. Anyways, I got done with it pretty quickly, and I was able to get over and ride the Alpine Coaster at Mount Saint Sauveur, which was actually a really good one. It was another Weigland, but it was like an older model, so it didn't have a lot of the braking. Like when it gets close to another car, it starts braking itself type thing.
Right.
Like, I was able to go pretty fast on it, and I wouldn't say it's the best one I've been on, but it was a really good one. Probably about as good as like Park Cities, or maybe a little bit, but not quite as good as like Jiminy Peaks or some of the ones I did in Branson, but it's a solid one. And then I went over and did the Kitty Spinning Coaster that opened up in Ottawa at a FEC called Fun Haven, which is like next to the IKEA and easily the most multicultural family entertainment center I have ever been in North America. There were more people wearing like traditional Muslim garb there than had been wearing traditional Muslim garb in the FECs in Muslim countries that I've been to. So that was different, unexpected. It exists, and I rode that. So I got like 7 credits in a weekend and then got myself. It was good. And then I went to Cedar Point the following weekend, which was also solid. I finally got some more Steel Vengeance rides in. I still don't know how to feel about it, but they were a lot better than my May rides.
Can we end on some Steel Vengeance discussion real quick?
Yes.
Because
yes.
I know we need to let Sean go. So,
I got about 5 minutes.
Sean, what are your thoughts on Steel Vengeance? Because I haven't heard them all, you know, entirety yet. So
so I've taken 5 rides on it now. So
okay.
my first two were in the back car, not the very, very back, but it was the best thing I'd ever ridden. I mean, thing about it, it's not the most extreme airtime I felt. It's not it's hard for me. It's all about confusion. That ride confuses me like none other. And then I went back and waited for the front a couple weeks ago. I was at the park for 2 hours And I didn't like it as much in the front, nearly as much. But the very, very back I rode with Jeff when we did Hershey Park and Cedar Point the same day was like the best, probably the best ride I've ever gotten on a coaster. It was the only thing that was making it screwed up was the muffle heads. So
I totally agree with you, 100%. Cool. So, yeah. Alan, what are your thoughts? What are your more advanced thoughts now?
Yeah, now that I got two rides and they were both in the middle, they were like rows 5 and 6. And like the first ride that I had had was in that next to last seat. But it was a morning ride. I feel like it wasn't, maybe it hadn't been warmed up enough. These were also morning rides. It was also kind of weird because like we got let in for early entry at 8:30 in the morning and they were already cycling the coaster. So they just let us up there. Like something happened and I don't think we were supposed to be riding it yet. But we got like two rides before anybody realized that it was open. So then there was like a crowd that, you know, showed up after we like walked on twice. It felt a lot faster in the middle than what I'd had in the back. Like in the back, just before it would hit every element after the block break the first time I rode it, it felt like there was a pause. And this, there was no pause. It was just like constant action.
I will agree. The middle is probably my favorite seat, to be honest. I forgot about mentioning that. The middle was absolutely insane. But when I rode it the last time, the mid course was on really heavy. And maybe that's why it didn't seem as intense.
Oh, yeah. That heavy mid course ruins that ride from what I hear. I have not had that yet. But oh, boy. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, Alan.
Yeah, I'm not surprised about the heavy mid course. I can see there being a time where this ends up being a ride like Voyage, where they're going to have days where they turn the block break off for like an ERT, that everyone can have real Steel Vengeance rides.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, you know, that's going to be the big event that everyone wants to go to is, oh, they're going to do brakeless Steel Vengeance today.
You know, it's layout's so perfect in my mind though. So a lot of that has to do with my love for it was the layout. So
I just think it's, like I said, it's a ride that's obviously really, really, really good. I still haven't had a night ride on it yet. I mean, it's tough to sit there and say that any ride is the best ride you've ever been on.
Right.
Like, I haven't been on it and gone off and been, like, in a state of euphoria.
Oh, see, I have.
it's not that I think it's not, like, great. It's just, like, maybe it just hasn't been at the right time. Like, I remember I rode Lightning Rod opening year, and it was great. But it wasn't like, I didn't come off of it like that was the ultimate ride. And then I rode it again last year in December, and I felt, like, superb about it afterwards. Yeah. Like, it was almost like waiting the 90 minutes somehow made it better.
No, I gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
But it's not, I don't know, it's a really good ride. So I want to ride it more. And at some point, I'll have a better opinion about it. I don't know if it's my favorite ride in the park still, though. Like, Maverick is so good, and Magnum is so good. And
Millennium Force is running really well this year.
Yeah, Millennium Force is running really, really well this year, too. It's just, you know what, though? The last time, you know, that last day that I had at Cedar Point, that was probably my best day at Cedar Point that I can recall.
Cool.
Like, that park has turned the corner and gotten so much better in every single respect. And
except opening weekend.
The opening weekend's always bad. So we just, you know, you like, we went in, we rode, you know, Steel Vengeance once, we rode Magnum, and got out of there because we knew the rest of it was going to be a complete, you know, disaster. But, right now, it's good.
Yeah, Cedar Point has two of the best meals I've had in the park, a regional park, recently. Like, the food's that good now, too.
Yeah, the chicken, awesome.
Melt's fantastic, and then you have the new hand-dipped chicken fingers place in Frontier Town is fantastic, as Alex can vouch for, too.
Yes, I can vouch for that.
As can the dog in the background.
No, that's not dog. That's three kids.
Okay. Oh, sorry, children. Sorry, the animals.
All right, guys. Yeah. Well, I have to leave.
Okay.
I think our story's getting ready to air, so that's why everybody's trying to call me right now.
Oh, good. So, Sean, we'll see you later. Thank you. Where can everyone find you online at?
I don't do social media other than YouTube, and it's just under my name, Sean Flaherty, SEANFLAHARTY. That's the only thing I do. So
thank you, Sean. We'll get out of here. Enjoy the are you going to put it up online when it runs?
Possibly. I just got to figure out how to rip it. If they just told us they were going to air it, and they said it'd be between 8 and 10, but now everybody's okay. calling me, so they must have seen a lead in. But once I do, I'll get it up there, I'm sure.
Okay, cool. We'll let you go. Have a good time.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Sean.
Yep. Bye.
Okie dokie. Anything else you guys want to talk about, or are we done?
I could talk. That's my problem.
I could talk forever too.
I mean, we all can talk forever, but
I know.
I'm going to Europe.
What?
When are you going to Europe?
What? When did this happen?
I just booked it like last week. So we're still working out the actual itinerary, but what I can tell all of our wonderful listeners on Parkscope is that you'll get coverage coming up from Disneyland Paris.
Nice.
Ooh.
Efteling. And from Disneyland. And other stuff, TBD. But it's, we're basically, I kind of asked my wife, I'm like, here's a list of like three periods where we could hit a park. Like, which park of the list do you like the most? And we'll kind of figure it out from there. Cause it's like, we could go to, there's a million parks to go to. We could go to Negloland. We could go to Wally Gator. We could go to Toverland, Plopsaland, Dupont, Baba John Land, Park Asterix, Walibi Belgium, you know, Belloarde, like all these parks that, you know, some of these parks I've been to a long time ago, some of them I've never been to. So I kind of put that in her hands and I was like, you take a look, you tell me what you think, and we'll go from there. And then probably a couple fairs. So it looks like it'll be a good opportunity. There's going to be a fair in downtown Luxembourg and probably one in Lille, France. Be the two that I'm going to be hitting up as well. But, you know, multi-day stays on property for Fantasia Land and Efteling and close to on property at Disney. I never stay on property at Disney Paris because it's so pricey. It's like, it's way pricier than Disney World or Disneyland or Disney.
And the rooms are still out of like 1980s.
Yeah, they've only started updating them in the last couple of years, which is nice, but there's still tube TVs in some of them.
Yeah.
And I'm not paying $450 or $500 a night for tube television. Like, I'm sorry, that's just not happening. But we got a really good deal via Expedia, of all things. It was basically like buy one airfare, get one free based on what the prices were on Delta's website.
Holy shit.
Yeah. We paid like $1,700 for airfare and two nights hotel. So they want like $1,600 for the same flights if I go on Delta. So I'm like, yeah, that's a great deal. I'll take it. And, you know, I haven't been to Disney Paris in 9 years. I haven't been to Fantasialand in 11 years. And I haven't been to Efteling since the European Coaster Odyssey, which was 16 years ago. It's a long time.
That's a long time.
It's a really long, I was a teenager.
Hypersonic was still running.
Yeah.
That's how long ago it was.
Yeah, it was a really, like, probably a non-insignificant number of people that have listened to this podcast were either not alive or incapable of, like, communicating with a human.
But let's just be honest. Hypersonic was occasionally operating back then.
Good point. Sorry.
It technically wasn't SBNO yet, but it was on its way.
I remember CoasterCon. Someone asked, "Why don't you let people in the queue?" And the general manager just said, "Well, you know, it has lots of problems. So instead of letting a lot of people in, we just keep them outside the entrance so we don't have to have them all leave when it breaks down here."
I always heard it was a fire issue, that there wasn't, it was too confined, so they, if there was a fire, people couldn't escape quickly.
I don't know, that's what I heard. I have no idea.
Yeah, weird. God, such a weird ride.
That's, God, I can't believe that we may actually see not just one SNS launch coaster next year, but potentially multiple.
Wait, what's the other one?
There may be two more, actually. That's your hot rumor.
Okay.
And I mean, basically, it's like if you're looking out there right now, if you've seen people with construction photos, you know that there's like four parks that are getting something significant.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be Magic Mountain. There's going to be Great America in Chicago.
Damn it. Why didn't you keep going what we were about to say?
Kennywood and Carowinds. Those are your four.
Ugh. Great America. Okay.
And yeah. Canada's Wonderland.
Canada's, yeah, that's right. Canada. Well, that's everybody knows what that is. That's a B&M.
Yeah. that's
there's no questions about that one, but
yeah,
I'm excited about that one too. I'm not going to lie. I always enjoy a good trip up to Canada's Wonderland. Oh, and this, I'm reminded, this is for Alex.
Yeah.
So, you had sent me that link to the Skirbeck show's calendar.
Yeah, what about it?
That will probably be where it shows up, that one fair that we had talked about.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Because I actually, when I was out with my mother this weekend, I passed by the St. Stan's Polish Festival, and they had, which was on that calendar, and they had the toboggan there. So
nice. Yeah, we pretty much locked it in, so it better be there.
Yeah, there's two remaining traveling toboggans in North America, or at least in the United States.
I thought there's only one.
A1 Midway, who operates in Alaska.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Has a toboggan.
Oh, crap. Now I gotta go to Alaska. Oh, dang. I really do want to go to Alaska, but not for coasters. So
you can also ride it in Yellowknife and like Northern Winnipeg, or not Northern Winnipeg, like Northern Alberta. I think they do a show or something there. Like, it goes exclusively to really weird places.
I had no idea there were even any showmen in Alaska.
There's the Alaska State Fair, and then there's another fair that's in Fairbanks, huh. Alaska Fair Days or something like that.
I bet you're just clamoring to do the hidden attractions of Alaska.
I already did it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The second one I did, they're in alphabetical order, my man.
Oh, okay. Was there a lot?
So everyone, go ahead and check out on parkscope.net, because I'm still doing them. I'm at Utah.
Oh, I didn't know you did it alphabetically. I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's not very much.
Damn it, you ruined what's coming next.
What did I ruin?
I'm just joking.
Oh, okay. Well, I did.
The alphabet ruined it.
The alphabet has destroyed it. Yeah.
God damn it.
I've actually been doing like a decent job of writing these things for a change. So
yeah, that was fun. I guess I didn't see Alaska because I didn't pick up on your series until a little bit later.
No, it's fine. It's there's not very much in Alaska. There's like precious, precious, precious little. I stretched it out as much as I could for the article. It's like Hawaii. Like, what do you say about Hawaii? Like, I basically just did a history of Hawaiian amusements. There's not much else to do.
No, you go there to have touristy things, and you go there on your honeymoon.
Yeah, and then if you want to ride a coaster, you ride.
Everyone's there. Everyone.
Oh, what's up?
Oh, Joey. Everyone's on the beach. So
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and if you want to ride a coaster, there's a Jungle Twist that's owned by...
Yes. I'm going to ride that Jungle Twist.
Damn it.
I'm going to play my freaking honeymoon all over that, if that ever happens.
You should. I would. I'm not going to lie.
Fortunately,
I'm going to Hawaii without riding that damn Jungle Twist.
Man, flights to Hawaii are expensive, by the way. I was looking it up just for whatever reason. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, they are. They're very expensive.
Yeah, they're preposterous.
It's pretty much like going to Europe.
Yeah, that's like going to Europe.
So, let's wrap this up, guys. We've been at this for a little while.
Sounds good to
Alex,
me.
Alex, where can we find you online at?
Coaster Spotting.
You online at? Oh, Coaster Spotting.
Good. Coaster Spotting right. At Twitter.
Cool. Alan, where can we find you at?
God's on Safari on Twitter.
Cool. You can find me at Parkscope. Joe, you can find all of us at Parkscope or Parkscope.net, et cetera, et cetera. La, 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 la. You get the idea. Anyways, thanks for listening. Kungaloo.